started. Welcome to our Daily Power Parsha. Today is June 26th. Torah portion is Korach, and we have a lot to talk about. So as you might have realized, the last few weeks have been very dramatic. We had the story of the spies, now the story of Korach's attempted mutiny. And one thing's clear, and it's that, I think what's clear is what's right and wrong. In retrospect, hindsight is 20/20. In the moment, it's like, well, maybe Korach does have a point. Maybe the spies are justified in their fear or in their hesitation. In retrospect, we ask the question, like, what were they thinking? Like, how could you possibly challenge Moses and Aaron after all they've done? Are you kidding me? Have you not been paying attention? You might ask Korach and the Jewish people who were aligned with Korach and all of those who were maybe not aligned but sympathized with Korach. You might ask the question, have you literally not been paying attention? Like, have you, remember Egypt? Remember the plagues? Remember the splitting of the sea? Remember Torah at Sinai? How do you deny all these things? And how do you think that you are going to overthrow Moses and Aaron and somehow cast a doubt or cast any sort of question on their leadership? It really doesn't make sense when you think about it. And yet, it's exactly what happened. And I was speaking to somebody yesterday. We were talking about this idea and how mind-boggling it is that the people, you know, revolted like this, or that the Korach revolted and people were actually buying into it. And, you know, how could it be? And I said, you know, a similar question is always asked regarding the sin of the golden calf, right? The Jewish people got the Torah, Mount Sinai, and a mere 40 days later, there they are dancing the Hora around a golden calf. And everyone wonders, you know, how's it possible? How do you go from divine revelation, clarity, you know, the ultimate epiphany of God, to literally worshiping an idol, like in violation of the first few commandments? How do you go so quickly in a matter of 40 days from one extreme to the other? And my response is always the same. And that is, I'm surprised it took 40 days. I'm surprised it took 40 days because people are people. And people have this thing. And when I say people, I mean you and I. We have this thing where no matter how inspired we are, no matter how much truth we believe in and whatever, we are human beings and we are always radically susceptible to making the next mistake. It is always at the very tip of our fingers, you know, the possibility to make that next mistake. And I'm not being cynical, I'm being realistic. If there's one thing that Torah is, it's profoundly realistic. And it says, don't think, don't pretend that you're a tzaddik who can never make a mistake. Because if that's what you think, then the next mistake is going to happen in 3, 2, 1. Always recognize that there's always a mistake or always a big error that is around the corner if you take your eye off the ball. If you in any way believe in yourself a little too much, or believe that you're impervious to temptation, or believe that you're too big to fail, that's always a bad recipe. So the one message, you know, as I reflect on this Torah portion, kind of in our final Daily Power Parsha of this week, right? So the kind of the overarching theme is, look how far people can fall. And it's not a condemnation of Korach only and Dasan and Aviram and the 250 others. It's not a condemnation of them specifically. It's rather a reality check on the human condition. We have to be careful. We have to always be aware and vigilant lest we fall prey and make the same mistakes. Okay, so the challenge of Korach was to the authority of Moshe and Aaron. He specifically went after the priesthood of Aaron, as we've seen in the last few days. So it's very interesting. I'm not going to say ironic because I don't think it's ironic, but it's very interesting and I think it's very telling that in the aftermath of the Korach story, after the story concludes, there's a very interesting mitzvah, a very interesting command. Take a look. I'm going to share my screen with you. Take a look at today's reading. Today is Friday. It's the sixth reading. It should be popping up right now. Okay, here we go. Take a look. Oh, so the first part of this reading is kind of cleaning up the previous story. Remember, yesterday we spoke about the story with the staffs, Each tribe gave a stick with their tribal name or tribal leader engraved on it, and they put them in the tabernacle in front of the holy space. And by the next morning, only Aaron's staff had blossomed, and that was a sign that he was the chosen one. So take a look at what it says here, Numbers chapter 17. The Lord said to Moses, put Aaron's staff back in front of the testimony as a keepsake and a sign for rebellious ones. In other words, in case anyone ever wants to start up again at any point in history against Aaron or the Kohanim, the priests, or Moshe, whatever it is, in case anyone wants to start up with the priesthood, let them just refer back to the staff that demonstrated by miraculous means that indeed Aaron was the chosen individual, the chosen one to represent the people chosen by God. So that is, that's sign number one. That's kind of a perpetual sign and a proof of Aaron's leadership. Moses did so. He did just as the Lord had commanded him. And then, interestingly enough, we find the complaint right here, 27 and 28. The Jews are still not finished complaining. And they say, behold, we are dying. We will perish. We are all lost. Whoever comes the closest to the Mishkan of the Lord dies. Have we been consigned to death? Basically, they were saying, look, Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron, they approached and they died. The 250 people in our story in this week's Torah portion, they came with fire offerings and they died. It seems like God is very, at any moment you get too close, zap. So is that our fate? You wander into the temple one day, into the tabernacle, the next thing you know, poof, it's gone. It seems like volatile situation, this whole Mishkan, this whole serving God thing. It seems very scary. So, I would say that one of the messages, it's not always going to be easy and it's not always going to be, full access. There are restrictions. And so indeed, the very next chapter and the very next few verses, it talks about the responsibility of the Kohanim, of the priests, to safeguard the temple and make sure that people that shouldn't go there don't go there. In other words, if you don't belong there, you shouldn't go there. It's going to be the Kohanim's, the priest's job to make sure that everyone is where they need to be. So look at verse 1, chapter 18. The Lord said to Aaron, you, your sons, and your father's house, in other words, your family, the Kohanim, shall bear the iniquity associated with the sanctuary. What does it mean to bear the iniquity? It means directly addressing the people's complaint in the previous two verses, saying that if we get close to the Mishkan, we are going to die. Yes, that is correct. If you go in an unauthorized space, it could be deathly, it could be lethal. So therefore, you, Aaron, the Kohanim, shall bear the iniquity associated with the sanctuary. In other words, make sure people don't go there. Rope it off, teach the people, put up tape, put up signs, whatever it takes. Make sure people don't go where they don't need to be going. And this, by the way, is a general message in life. Not everyone needs to go everywhere. And I'm going to keep it as vague as possible so that you can apply it as you need. But not everyone needs to go everywhere. It's not always appropriate to krichen sich, to go and to encroach on whatever it is. And I'm keeping it broad. Because I don't want to limit it to a specific example. I want you to apply it on your own in your own life, right? Some people have that access. Some people don't have that access. Sometimes you need to be there. Sometimes you don't need to be there. Sometimes you don't need to know. Sometimes you don't need to ask. Sometimes you don't need to tell. Sometimes you don't need to go in that space, whatever it is. But not always is that full access healthy. Sometimes it could be lethal. Sometimes it's dangerous to approach places or questions, or whatever that we shouldn't approach. Again, keeping it vague so that you can apply it on your own to your own life. Finally, so it talks about basically the responsibility of the Kohanim, and this is where, I don't think it's ironic, but I think it's telling. After multiple readings regarding the challenge to Aaron's leadership, we now have an affirmation, not only that Aaron is the leader, is the Kohen, is the high priest, and his sons are the Kohanim, but it talks about the role of the high priest and the role of the priests to safeguard the sanctuary and to ensure that the people are safe. So here we have once again an affirmation for the role of the priesthood. I want to mention, there's a beautiful insight There's a beautiful insight. I'm on the last verse over here. Sorry, let me explain something else. So in the same reading, in our reading today, talks about the gifts that are given from the people to the Kohanim, to the priests. Because famously, as we know, the priests didn't have another job. It's not like they were also employed, you know, they were also the postal workers. They weren't. Their entire vocation, their entire life was dedicated to serving God in the temple and in the sanctuary, and to serving the people and educating the people. So they had no other job, no other vocation. So how did they support themselves, and how were they supported? So the Torah tells us they were given support by the people. The people supported the priests. So take a look. Take a look. Verse number 8. Whoops. Verse number 8. The Lord told Aaron. So God speaks directly to Aaron the Kohen. Behold, I have given you the charge of my gift offerings. I have thus given you all the holy things of the children of Israel for distinction and as an eternal portion for your sons. Look at this. These shall be yours from the holiest of holies, from the fire, all their offerings, their meal offerings, their sin offerings, their guilt offerings, and what they return to me, they shall be holy of the holiest. Sorry, they shall be holy of holies to you and to your sons. You shall eat in the holiest of places. Any male may eat of it. It shall be holy to you. Okay, so specifically, what are the gifts? So the Torah says, this shall be yours, what is set aside for their gifts from all the wavings of the children of Israel. Okay, what is it? Verse 12, the choice of the oil, the choice of the wine and grain, the first of which the gift of the Lord to you I've given it. So in other words, when the people, not the priests, when the people bring to the temple the first gifts, the wine, the oil, the grain, etc., it then is given to the Kohen, because again, the Kohen doesn't have any other means of support. The first fruit of all that grows in their land. So again, all of that goes to the Kohanim. Every first issue of the womb of any creature, whether man or beast. So you give your first animals to the first of your flock, you give to the Kohen, and also the firstborn children. But don't worry, you don't have to actually give the kids. You redeem it. As we know, there's a pidyon haben, redemption of the firstborn, and you give the value, the money, a certain amount, at least a nominal fee, a token fee, to the Kohen in its redemption. The redemption is done at the age of 1 month. This is a mitzvah that we still do today, right? The redemption from the age of 1 month. We redeem the firstborn boys, 130 days old. And you give 5 shekels of silver, 5 silver coins. Today, people give 5 silver dollars, but if you had shekels back in the day, that would be the currency of choice. Okay, let's keep on going. So these are the gifts of the Kohen, the gifts given to the Kohen. Take a look at this last verse, very telling. The Lord said to Aaron, you shall not inherit in the land. In other words, you are not going to have a piece of the land of Israel. You're not going to have real estate. That is not going to be how you live. And you shall have no portion among them. I am your inheritance and portion among the children of Israel. God is telling the Kohanim, the priests, you may not have a piece of land, but you have a piece of me. God says, because you're doing the holy service, so you may not make it lucrative. It may not be a lucrative, you know, financial vocation, but it's lucrative in the divine connection. God says, you're with me, I am with you, I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. Not the land, but you get me. You don't get real estate, you get God. But there's another interpretation that I think is really beautiful, where it's on this verse that says, I'm your inheritance, a portion among the children of Israel. That's a message not only to the priests, but it's also a message to the people. God is telling the people, right, among the children of Israel, God is saying, I am your inheritance and portion, which means that every time, this is a message to the people, every time you are successful, you should know that I have a piece, God says, of your success. Who gives you life? Who allows you to wake up in the morning? Who gives you wisdom? Who gives you all the strength that you need to do what you do to earn the money? God says, I do, and therefore I have a piece of your success. And therefore, I say, take my piece and give it to the Kohanim. I hope you understand what I just said. Basically, the simple way of understanding this verse is God is telling the priests that I'm your inheritance. You're not going to inherit the land, but don't worry, you get me. I am your inheritance, God says. Another way of understanding it is God is not speaking to the priests at all. God is speaking to the children of Israel. And God is saying, I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. In other words, the people, talking to the people, part of your success is my chelek, is my portion. I have a piece. I have a stake. I'm an investor in your success. Therefore, take my profits and give it to the Kohen. After all, it's the least you can do to give back for all that I have given you. So we have a message here for the recipient of the gift. The Kohen says, not only are you getting a gift, but you're also getting God. And for the giver, the message is, you are partnering with God on this gift. Now to the seventh reading. Hope that makes sense. Now to the seventh reading. We have a beautiful idea. Not only were gifts given to the Kohen, I'm going to give you the term. It's called teruma, T-E-R-U-M-A-H, teruma. Not only is there a gift given to the Kohen, to the priest, there's also a gift given to the Levi. So the beginning of this reading says, and to the descendants of Levi, not the Kohanim, not the descendants of Aaron, the descendants of Levi, the Levites, I have given all the tithes of Israel as an inheritance. So they don't get truma, which is the first fruits, the first grains, the first oil, the firstborn animals, a piece of the offerings. They get a different set of gifts. What do they get? Tithes, 10%, miser. In Hebrew, it's called miser. 10% of what grows goes to the Levite. The first, the sacrifice portion of the sacrifices, that goes to the Kohanim. The tithes go to the Levi, to the Levites. Two different gifts. However, the Torah then ups the ante. Take a look. Verse 26. God tells Moses to tell the Levites, speak to the Levites. By the way, Moses was also a Levite. He wasn't a Kohen, he was a Levite. Speak to the Levites and tell them, listen to this. When you take the tithe from the children of Israel, so when you receive that tithe, that 10%, then what I want you to do is, you shall set aside from it a gift for the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. In other words, you're getting a tithe. I want you to take a percentage, a 10% of your 10% that you got, and in turn, give it to the Kohen, give it to the priest. Take a look, verse 28. So shall you set aside a gift for the Lord from all the tithes you have taken from the children of Israel, and what you do with that gift, and you shall give it to, as the Lord's gift, to Aaron the priest, which means that the Kohanim get not only the gifts from the people, but they also get gifts from the Levites. Are you with me? I hope you're with me on this. The Kohen gets a gift of Truma. The Levi gets the gift of Miser. And the Levi gives another gift, a Trumas Miser, Truma from his own tithe. He gives it to the Kohen. What's the message? Such a beautiful message. Even the Levite, who was a recipient of gifts, in turn was commanded to give a gift. And this informs Jewish law regarding tzedakah. Even someone who is the beneficiary of tzedakah is obligated by Jewish law to also give tzedakah. And a person might say, I should give tzedakah. I need tzedakah. God forbid, right? If a person is in an impoverished state, so they need to take tzedakah. There's no shame in taking tzedakah. If you need, you need. But a person might say, I'm getting tzedakah. I should then go ahead and give. I'm not in the position to give. I'm in the position that I need. The Torah says no. No. No, you need to give also. If you're getting, then get a little bit extra and give a little bit away. Why? Because of the importance of giving. It's so critically important to give. We have to train ourselves to be givers, not just takers. And so the Torah empowers a recipient. You know, if you are just getting, it could be very demoralizing. It could be very, very difficult on one's spirit and self-esteem. So the Torah not only is encouraging the concept of giving for the sake of giving, because that's a good thing to do, but the Torah is also granting the recipient dignity. Because when you give, you feel good about yourself. Look, I was able to help someone else out. Instead of being the one that everyone else helps out, the Rachmanis, the one who everyone else is taking pity on and giving, which doesn't do wonders for one's self-esteem. In this case, the Torah says, no, we want you now to become a giver. So you should know in the laws of tzedakah, it says that when you give someone tzedakah, give them a little bit of extra so that they can in turn give it to someone else. Give someone a little bit of extra, a little extra than what they actually need so that they in turn can give that to someone else. And by doing so, you give them the greatest gift, not only satisfying their needs, but also satisfying their need to feel good about themselves. Because when we give, we feel good. When we give, we feel productive. We feel like we made a difference. We never want to withhold that from someone else. So if someone is temporarily in a position of need, don't only give them what they need, but also give them a deeper need. Allow them to satisfy their deeper need, the need to be productive, the need to give to others. So the Torah says like this, give the Kohen truma, give the Levi meiser, and Levis, you give the Kohen also. Take from what you got. You also don't have land in the land of Israel. You also don't have your own portion, your own business. You're a Levite. You're serving also like a Kohen. You're also getting a tithe. Good. Perfect. Take some of that and give it away. But I can't give it away. I don't have anything. I'm only getting. You have to give. The Rebbe once asked in a Fabrengen, I think it was on his 70th birthday. Fabrengen in honor of his 70th birthday, 1972. The 11th day of Nisan. I believe it was in this Fabrengen video. It was a weekday Fabrengen, so there's video. You can look it up. The Rebbe asked the question, why did God make it so that we need to work to earn our money? Why not just give everybody what they need? God can certainly pull it off. Why not? Imagine if you got a wire, you know, every week, every month, every day, whatever. You got a wire, you know, the source of the wire transfer, you know, God. Perfect. Who needs to work, right? I also thumbs up. Like, why? It would be so much easier after all. Like, at the end of the day, doesn't God want us to do, like, holy things? What's this business of work? And the Rebbe explained, and really a magnificent talk, you know, not just like people say, well, what are you going to do? That's the way God wants it. The Rebbe explained, because if God did all the giving and we did all the taking, there would be just an unbridgeable gap between human beings and God. Think about it. If God was the giver and we were the taker, then we would have nothing in common. Right? God gives and we take. So what do we have in common? Nothing. Zilch. Right? We do different things. So God says, no. I want you to be the giver. I want you to provide for yourself. And I want you to provide for others. I want to give you the gift of being like me. Because now we're on the same page. So God says, I'm not going to give you what you need. I want you to earn it. I want you to give yourself. And then take from what you've given yourself, obviously through my blessings, right? Through God's blessings. But take some of that and give to someone else. And by doing so, I'm giving you the greatest gift. The gift of being a giver. Now a person can say, God gives and I also give. I give myself. I give my family. I give others in need. I give. If the Levites were only taking, if the Levites were only about taking from the people, taking the tithe, but not giving, they wouldn't be divine. To give is to be divine because God gives. So to emulate God means that you're giving. So we don't want to hold the Levites back from that experience. We want the Levites to also emulate God. So the Torah says to the Levites, listen up. You're going to take a tithe, but give. And the same thing is true in tzedakah. A person takes tzedakah, they need to give tzedakah also. When you give to someone, give a little extra so that they in turn can give. Make them a giver. Giving is contagious. When you feel good about giving, oh, you want to give more. So, in the final analysis, as we conclude our discussion of Korach, number one, we spoke about not going into places where you shouldn't go, right? The temple is off limits. If you're not a Kohen, Don't bring fire pans of incense and expect a fuzzy warm welcome. It's not, right? Don't go into places where you shouldn't go on every level, right? There's the places that are appropriate, places that are inappropriate. Activities that are appropriate, activities that are inappropriate. Don't say, I'm going to go in and just wait and see what's going to happen. It may not end well, right? Don't put yourself in a challenge that you might not overcome. There's no mitzvah to put yourself in a situation that's dangerous. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically, you have to take care of ourselves. So yeah, the Kohanim were told to make sure people don't go there. Make boundaries. Teach the people about the precautions. And the message for us is, we have to know. We have to know our boundaries, know our limits, and respect them on every level. That was one message. Another message was about the gifts. God says to the Kohen and the Levi, you're not going to have your own stuff. But don't worry, I'll hook you up. Because I am your portion. And we said, not only does it mean that God is saying, maybe you don't have real estate, but you have me, but God is also saying to the people, all your success, I have a portion of that, right? God says, I'm an investor in you. Hey, you can't say it, God. You can't tell God that you have no peace in my success, no peace of the prophet. Are you kidding me? Who gives you life? Who gives you your soul? Of course God has a piece of the prophets. Great. So God says, I'm collecting my profits. But don't give it to me. Give it to somebody in need. Give it to somebody that needs it. Perfect. So that's a meditation on giving. And then the final point we said was about the Levite. The Kohen gets, the priest gets, the Levite gets, and the Levite is told not only get, but give. Why? Because we should never be stuck as takers. We should always be givers. That's what makes us holy. That's what makes us divine. You might be wondering, so did the Kohen have a chance to give? Right? The Levite took and then in turn gave it to the Kohen. So what did the Kohen, how was the Kohen a giver? I think even more than the Levite, the Kohen's whole life was giving, right? The Levite was like the assistant, so whatever. But the Kohen, the whole existence of the Kohen was giving. So the Kohen had to then give a tithe of the tithe of the tithe. The Kohen is always giving. And maybe the Kohen gave to other Kohanim. I don't know. Anyway, that's the message for this week. That's the final message for this week. Be a giver, right? Take with dignity, but give with dignity. And when we give, we emulate God. Whatever we give, we emulate God. All right, thank you for joining me this week today. Thank you for joining me today for Daily Power Parsha. Thank you for joining me this week for our discussion. We're on for next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 12 p.m. on Monday. Until then, have a wonderful Shabbos. Sunday morning is Kabbalah and Coffee, 9:30 a.m. Subject to be announced. If you're on the Kabbalah and Coffee list, you will get an email. Let's see what else. Monday.
Do you have a speaker Sunday night?
No, we do not have a fireside chat, but I'm working on a new round of programming. In fact, we're going to announce it in the next few days after Shabbos. Hopefully by the following Sunday, we'll have this up and running. I want to do a film and then a discussion series on the film. So like a documentary film, like a bit of a Sunday matinee, or maybe not matinee, but whatever, a Sunday film. And then the next few Sundays to have a study session that's based on that documentary. So a bit of a film and film and study. So stay tuned. I'm just working out the final scheduling and other logistic details, but that announcement's coming up soon. But this Sunday, giving you a Sunday off, whatever. We'll take a break, and then hopefully the next Sunday we'll get this new initiative up and running. Monday, of course, we're back on for Parah Parsha, Daily Parah Parsha. Monday night is Yiddish. Tuesday night is Life After Life. Wednesday is Torah studies. And we got a party. By the way, next week, at the end of next week, of course, is the 4th of July. So we have the holiday weekend coming up next week, and it's a party. So anyway, thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful Shabbos. May it be peaceful and restful and meaningful and, of course, spiritual. All right. Take care, all y'all.
Good Shabbos.
We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.